Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Have you ever suffered? Have you ever had your heart broken? Anybody? Is that a no? You've never had, remember in eighth grade? Maybe it was only me. That you had that girl you had your eye on. You thought she would return your affection and bam, turns you down. Doesn't even know you're alive. You ever had that happen? I see some heads bobbing. Okay. Yeah. Heartbroken. It happens. Divorce. Heartbroken. I don't know everybody that's had happened to, but it has happened, and there is heartbreak when a spouse cheats on their partner. There's heartbreak. Sometimes it can be repaired, sometimes the marriage can be saved, sometimes it's not. Now imagine, you see what's going on in Jeremiah. You don't hear it in this text in chapter 31. You got to go back to like chapter 2. And you see from about chapter 2, pretty much all the way to 30 and on, heartbreak for God. Judah is not being faithful. In fact, God is speaking through Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is saying they are worse than Israel. And he uses a few words that I would think go right to the heart. I don't even want to use those words up here. We use the word harlot, referring to Judah, but it's even worse. And it's not that God is not warning just once. It's continually bombarding through chapter after chapter. You got page and a half of God warning Judah of their sin. After Josiah, the king of Judah, died, his sons, three of them at least, you get a description of their sons, and right after it, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Not good kings. Not good at all. Now, let's take a look at what's going on in Israel, in Judah. You've got Egypt to the south. You've got Assyria and Babylon to the north. And they're both attacking at one time or another. Judah's not that big. I think they got, at the time, it was like 6,000 square meters. Maybe it was kilometers. I can't remember exactly, but you're talking millions of square kilometers for Egypt and Assyria and Judah. Or not Judah, Babylon. So you got huge countries up here. You got a huge country of Egypt below them. And it's like they're almost getting squeezed. And God is using those other countries because eventually he says, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to take you out. But it's interesting in the text because God does not give up on Judah. You hear the rhetoric of what they've done, and he keeps begging them to come and repent. It never happens. So, guess what? They're going to spend Number one, Jerusalem's going to get destroyed. And they're going to be in exile. So you look at what Judah had done. They went up after other gods. There was a lot of immorality going on at the time. In fact, you hear Jeremiah speak and give warnings. At one point, they want to kill him. Great to be a pastor in that church. What about us? What about us? We get to our text. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. Think about this. The law written on our hearts. Obviously, Judah didn't care. What about us? We know the law is written in our hearts. What does the law do? But accuse. Shows you your sin. For Judah, they were looking forward to the Messiah, but they lost track. It's like they gave up. What about us? Do we take the law, the Ten Commandments? I don't have catechism up here, but do we chuck it? So why we don't need that? Is the law abolished? At times, it might seem like it. At times, some of you know I kind of aim in on the Eighth Commandment. And that's probably the one that probably gets broken the most. You know, we should speak good about our neighbor. We should put things in the best light. But what has changed in this covenant? We still struggle with sin, right? You still struggle? It almost looked like Judah gave up. Why don't we give up? I really got silence. You probably never heard a pastor say that. Why? Because we have hope. It is not that we are going to be sinless or we have to be sinless to be saved. Okay? But it is not that we take the Ten Commandments and throw it out the window. So, well, we're done. I can just confess my sins, yada, yada, yada. I'm good. What is repentance? What was God calling Judah to do? To turn from their ways. To repent. What are we called to do? To be faithful. You know, there's a passage that Jesus uses. I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Well, how do we do that? We continue to hear his word. We continue to receive his body and blood. And we live as the community of his disciples. Now, sometimes the community doesn't look real good. But what's the point? That there should be gradual improvement in our lives. Not that we are sinless, without sin, because no one is. But that gradual improvement. What does it look like? Well, everybody's going to be different. You know, we have the temptation. Maybe we're not chasing after other gods. But what are we loving our neighbor? Our faith, what it will look like is we'll be loving our neighbor more. Not perfect, but more. Gradual improvement. And at times we fail. And if you read Jeremiah, you will hear Judah get bombarded with the law. But then after, calling for repentance. Every single time. And it goes on and on and on and on. And even after the destruction of Jerusalem, there is still the call to repentance. Still that call. Our God is a patient God. At times we see him as this angry, fearful God. But as our faith grows, we see him as a loving God. And that is when we can love others, is when we see God in Christ, when we see that love he has for us. That he hasn't thrown us into the fire. And more he works his sanctification in us. And then we look at others and we want them to have the same grace that we have. And it is out of love that flows. I'm going to point over here to nobody. But it is out of love that we know that person is a sinner. But it is out of love that we want them to be among us to hear God's word. So he can do the same thing to them that he's done to us. And the same thing he is doing to us by sanctifying us. Because guess what? He's not done. And he won't be done until he comes again. He's not finished. But if you go back and read Jeremiah, by the way, there's 52 chapters. But just skim through, and you will see God being patient with them. I mean, he's throwing a book at them. He's nailing them every time. But afterwards, repentance. Come back. You'll see it as you read it. Come back. Come back. You are mine. You are my children. And that's what he does with us in Christ. Because we are to keep the Ten Commandments. But by ourselves, it's impossible. But with Christ, it is not. And slowly, God will be working that in Christ, that we can do that. And when he comes back again, that is when it will happen. And God will look at us, Christ's blood covering us. God will not see our sin, but remain faithful. If you feel that tug on your heart and you feel sadness that you've disappointed God because of your sin, good. That's a good thing. Because with God there is forgiveness. For I will forgive their iniquity, I will remember their sin no more. He didn't say, I'm going to jot it down, I'm going to save it for another day. I will remember it no more. Walk with Christ. Stay in the vine. Hear his word as often as you can. And receive his body and blood that he gave to sustain us in the one true faith in Christ Jesus. May God our Father, which has begun this good work in you through Christ, bring it to completion. Amen.